Off the Ball, GAA.
Davey Burke coming out after a game and making comments like that, I'm not sure how exactly helpful it is to his team, but maybe he's trying to get a message across to them that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
He said it's going to be a busy weekend of Allianz National Football League final action, because tomorrow evening in Croke Park, it's the doubleheader, Division 4 at 5 o'clock between Limerick and Wexford, and the Division 2 decider between Monaghan and Roscommon at 7.15. Of course, that game being on Saturday because Roscommon play in the Connacht Championship a week later. And then on Sunday afternoon, it is Kildare versus Offaly in the Division 3 decider at 1.45, followed at 4 o'clock by the big one, Division 1 final between Kerry and Mayo. Delighted to say it, we have the former Kerry star Mike Quirk on the line this morning. Morning, Mike. How are things?
Good, Shane. How are you?
Keeping well. Thanks very much. And just looking at some of the stats from Salt Hill last Sunday, and what a bonkers finish to Division 1, by the way. But 324 scored in total for Kerry without the need for a single two-pointer, and a total of two wides over 70 minutes. That's efficiency on another level, isn't it?
Yeah, they were very, very impressive. And I think their graph has been kind of rising all the way through the National League, really. Particularly since the Armagh game, that was a big win below in Tralee. And the football that they played that night has, you know, we've seen a continuation of that in the last couple of weeks. I think a little bit like we anticipated, really. Once the weather and everything settled down and players were exclusively with their counties as opposed to being pulled and dragged to football or to Sigerson and different things, you know, we've seen teams now kind of start to really take advantage of the new rules, and probably none more so than Kerry with the way they're starting to move the ball.
The Jim O'Connor injury, of course, was a bit of a concern in recent weeks, but build up the championship. There still is a depth there in this Kerry squad, one that you would expect. And the other thing as well is the Division 1 final. You look at Mayo, of course, they have to think about Sligo next weekend in the Connacht Championship. Kerry probably are absolutely lapping up having an extra game.
Oh yeah, I would imagine, like, especially above in Croke Park under these new rules, like, this will be the first. Well, obviously it won't be the first. Saturday's games will be the first really competitive tests of these new rules in Croke Park. We've seen them in all the other venues where, you know, wind and rain and poor surfaces or good surfaces or bad lines or good lines. This will be the first test that we see four really, really good competitive games in Croke Park played under these new rules. And that alone is going to be very exciting to see how they actually play out. You know, we saw the interprovincials there, obviously, but that was a completely different kind of ball game. Whereas now, when teams have had a good period of time to work on them, now they're playing in the biggest, you know, pitch in the country on the best surface without weather being a major factor. It should be really interesting to see how these rules are, how they play out in those circumstances. And again, like, from Kerry's point of view, getting an opportunity to play this game, which they would not have expected at all. They were obviously going into last weekend hopeful that they were able to do a job above in Galway and stay in the division was their primary objective, I would imagine. And then, as luck would have it, obviously, between the two teams, that they finish in a final. So it's been an incredibly positive league for Kerry. Like, they play this game, and I think they're off to Quinta do Lago in Portugal later next week. So it's been a beautiful run-in, I can imagine, for Jack and the lads, you know?
There's no kind of curse for winning the Division 1 final, because we saw it with Derry last year, what happened, and then Mayo the year before. And, like, even in 2019, I think Mayo, when they won that final, they'd lost their previous 11, I think, in Croke Park. Including, like, three league finals in a row. So it does mean something. Who do you think it means more to this weekend, Mike, to win it? Kerry or Mayo? Like, I mean, in many ways, of course, it means the world to both. But who do you think need it more?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I was just looking back over the stats of their league campaigns, and, like, you know, Kerry were second in the table in terms of the most players used, second most players used only to Donegal. They used 34 different players. Mayo, interestingly, were the bottom of that table. They've only used 26 of their panel over the course of the seven games. So, I always the league, obviously, you want to find a couple of guys for championship. You want to give it up for opportunity to your panel, because, you know, it's a tough environment for all those fellas if they're not getting an opportunity to play. So Kerry certainly maximised that and got a huge bounce out of that, and now have got the added bonus of getting to the final. So of course they're going to want to win it, because, you know, they understand that the Munster Championship isn't as competitive possibly as other provinces, not possibly. So they'll obviously want to win that, and especially under the new rules in the big pitch, that's that's the primary thing here. He wants to see how they can move the ball against a good opposition like Mayo, who are going to be all Ireland contenders in this pitch. So I think that's a performance for them is the most important thing. For Mayo, I think it's the same for Kevin McStay and Mayo. I think the fact that they've used a smaller proportion of their squad, they have a little bit more settled team. They have, should have a better idea of everybody and what they're trying to do because they haven't used as many players. So from that point of view, I think, you know, the fact that they haven't blooded as many youngsters, it's probably more of a target of theirs now to say, okay, let's go and win a national trophy. And no doubt, like, it isn't that Kerry are going to go up there and say, oh, sure, it's only league. Jack O'Connor loves the league. It served him very, very well. Years where he's won the league, it's been well documented at this stage. He's gone on and winning All-Ireland. So, for both of them, it's a great opportunity to play in that big pitch, but also go and get a trophy for yourself.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Owen, it's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
Holanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda.
Irlanda. See.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Divert it on Off the Ball.
In the current run of form, does the Munster game, this is a bit of a stupid question, does it scare you because of the possibility of the negative streak continuing, or does it excite you because it's Munster for you?
It'll be a one-off. It'll be very different. We're in a dogfight in the top 14. Yeah. As crazy as our season seems to people on the outside, and with the way the results go in the top 14, everything is still to play for. And that's the beauty of it. Everything is possible in this campaign. We could be fighting for relegation. We could be in the top six. If you get into the top six, you have a chance of winning the Buccleuch. Imagine. So, like, in that regard, the top 14 game this weekend is more important than the Munster game. But when the Munster game comes around, it'll be the important game. But where we are, we've 7 games left in the top 14, and Europe, you're whatever 320 minutes away from winning it. But to even think of winning it is not possible at the minute. We've got to try and think of winning a game, and that's great to be having those little, I suppose, goals in front of you. But what we need to do is we need to find form. The only way we'll find form is by, I suppose, trusting our fundamentals. We've got a few bodies back this week, but it's just, I think there's a general recognition that we've been underperforming. But once you recognise something, I think you're on the road to recovery. And a lot of these guys really care for their team, so I'm confident we'll see a big performance in Claremont.
Do you, Ronan, have to be somewhat tactical in the names in which you pinpoint in post-match interviews? Because I was just looking at say, for example, after the Cass game last weekend, you talked about needing to find that nasty streak, the nasty side, and you pinpointed two players, Oscar Jégu, who's a flanker, Alexandre Kadouri, prop, both 21 years of age. It struck me that you pinpointed two young lads in the team as two who do have that nasty streak and held them up as examples. Was that on purpose?
It just came into my head. I think when the great thing about playing in the Munster team that I was in, it was dominated by local boys who cared deeply for Munster. Then it was supersetted with classy, quality, world-class additions from either New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, all around the world. But the core, the spine of the team were local lads. These two lads are local. It hits deeper when they're local boys and they care for their club. So for me, just because they're 21, I remember being up in the bowl in UL and finished the training session, and I looked out to see, I think there was a Munster Academy session, and I saw Keith Earl, and I saw Dennis Leamy, and I just said, who are those two? I said, get them training with us. Sure. Things just jump out when it's, I suppose, when you know your apples, you know. It's very easy to see these two are going to have big careers for La Rochelle, but just because they're young and there's big names in the dressing room, and it was a bit like when I was a young kid, Munster, I didn't speak for 2 years nearly in the dressing room because you were afraid. But these two guys, they can't be like that. We need them now, and the message from the coach is that we need everyone.
Were you afraid not to talk because of bigger characters in the dressing room, or was that the protocol for young people at the time?
No, it was just, you were, I suppose, overawed, you know. It's easy looking back on things, but when you're alive in that situation, you've got to remember the there were superstars of the game, and because it was an amateur professional game or on the verge of turning into professional, it doesn't change anything, you know. When you're in that dressing room, it's they're big, big names, big rugby players, and you're just sitting there hoping them, hoping they won't ask you a question, you know. But there's no badness or intent the senior players or in the older guys. That's just the way it works among people. But when you're that young kid, you're I certainly was very, very nervous and very, very, I suppose, fearful of what potentially could happen.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.